Before we begin, I do want to give a shout out to all of our patrons for supporting our podcast. If you want to see the continued production of this podcast, do consider becoming a patron by following the link in our description or by visiting patreon.com/bitterbrownfams. You can donate as little or as much as you can, and every tier has a reward. So even if you donate $1, you get a shout out from us on our social media. If you donate like $5, you get early access to episodes as well as an extended version of the episodes. So yeah, consider joining. Again, the link is in our description. And I would specifically like to give a shout out to Dare CT, Nini, Kathleen, Delia, Elizabeth O, Cynthia P, Monica M, Guadalupe F, Christian G, Evelyn P, and Laura R. Thank you all so much. These are all the folks in our BBF, BFF tier. So thank y'all so much. Much love to y'all. Let's start the show.
We'll do it live. Fuck it. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. Fucking thing sucks. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3.
Hello. And welcome to another episode of Bitter Brown Fams. I am one of your hosts, Ruben, and I'm coming to you from Los Angeles.
And this is your other host, Cassandra, coming to you from El Paso, Texas.
Oh, wow, the winter state.
The winter state. Oh. Yeah, with the best senators, the best governor, anyone could ask for.
Yeah, straight up. I too wish that my senator was the Zodiac Killer, but we cannot all...
And Kevin from The Office at the same time.
Yeah, the luck.
Yeah.
The luck that Texas has.
Yeah, I love it.
How have you been?
And he's a great father. Oh, and he's an educated Latina. There's just
Educated Latina. The ways in which Ted Cruz... Yeah. I just want to add pictures of Ted Cruz to the educated Latina tag.
He's so great. I love him. But that was sarcasm because I can't believe people at one point thought I was a Ted Cruz
because people supporter. Are like
and a Trump supporter that I believe in the national anthem and that I'm a man posing as a woman on Instagram and so on and so forth.
It's all those OG Chicanos that like saw the name Chicanismo once upon a time and they're like, oh, this is a very serious page for mi gente. Cassandra Palarraza.
I know.
So, you know, they have no sense of humor. They have no understanding of sarcasm. Like, comedy to them is like George Lopez, you know, being anti-black on his comedy specials. Oh, like, that's them.
Yeah. Yeah, but how are you?
Better today than I have been for, like, the last year. I mean, no, since the beginning of the year, yeah.
This year, yeah.
This year has been rough. But, yeah, no, I am okay. I woke up before 2 p.m. today, so please clap. thank you. I'm going to find a clapping effect and add it as well.
we do need effects.
We do. I know. I'm gonna step up our game.
Anyway, what were we talking about?
How have you been?
I have been good. I've been in a really good mood, actually. I think I said that last time, and it was still Aquarius season. So I think all of Aquarius season was really good to me. And I'm still in a good mood, despite it being Pisces season, which I don't really care for. Even though I have been, like, emotional, so I'm like, damn you, Pisces. But I was going to make a joke about Pisces season, but then people just take my jokes too seriously, and Pisces are already sensitive, and so I was like,
well, mind. astrology is like the new frontier of oppression. Like, let's just put that out there. It is. If you make fun of a certain group, that is you being, you know, leophobic.
Oppressive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A Pisces-phobic. Yeah. Yeah. You know, Capricornanistic or whatever. Like, your anti-Aquarius sentiment is not accepted here. Like, yeah.
Yeah, no, I've been good. I've been in a good mood, like upbeat, I guess. And then all the shit happened last week. That was just like, no. Obviously not good vibes at all. But I don't know if you're ready to get into that.
Yeah, I guess
And
if you're done talking
yeah.
about how you've been, we can get into it.
Yeah, I mean, 'cause like I haven't really, I mean, I've been good. That's all I can
I mean,
say.
you've
Like
been
I've been
snowed in technically, haven't you?
No.
No.
So, okay. So last week on Valentine's Day specifically, actually, my weather app said it was gonna snow. And when it snows in Texas, it snows probably like once or twice a year, and on that day it's like very minimal snow compared to like, what other parts of the country see. And so people don't know how to act. Right? Because we don't deal with that, and we're just like everything gets shut down. Like I do not drive,
It's like
I do
when
not go to work. What?
it's like when it rained in LA, except for y'all
Yeah.
have real issues because
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, and so it's kind of like a joke, not a joke, but people are like, "Oh, it's gonna snow, so now we're all gonna stay home," And I think that's what a lot of people thought maybe when they saw that on their app. At least that's what I thought, like, "Ugh, it's gonna snow and like it's gonna be over in like one day." Whatever. And then Sunday came and I woke up and it was just like a lot of snow, more than I've ever seen, I feel. And I was like, what the fuck is this? But I was still like, okay, like this is gonna be gone tomorrow, Like I still didn't think it was that, serious, I guess. That was Sunday. And then Monday when I woke up, it was like just these terrible things like on Twitter about Austin, Texas not having any power for like overnight, going on to like 24 hours, like Austin, and then like people in Houston and Dallas. And then as time went on, it's like I realized, which I didn't even know this before, that Texas has its own power grid, separate from the rest of the country because they don't want to do federal regulations. Like it's just privatized, and Texas is like anti-government, we do what we want, and at the cost of people's lives and profit over people, like obviously. But I just didn't even know that, and so it's weird, because El Paso and maybe like a chunk of East Texas and maybe up north like a little bit near Oklahoma are the only parts of Texas that are not on that grid. So El Paso wasn't affected, like the rest of Texas was, like Dallas and Houston and Midland, Fort Worth, all the towns in between. Like yeah, it snowed, and I'm sure some people had problems with their heater, their water, and so on and so forth, but not on, we didn't lose power because of that. We're on the Western Connect, I think that's what it's called. So we didn't even experience any of that. And so just, I seeing though, obviously what else was happening across Texas was like, it was fucked up. Obviously because we're still a part of Texas, but even if you're not, like you should just care, right? And then what I was seeing a lot, and it's interesting because I mentioned this in our last episode about, people and the way they talk about the South. And I know I said that in reference to like voting or
To
something, but
Georgia.
to Georgia. But liberals specifically, at that time were on Twitter and they were like, oh, haha, Texas, it doesn't have power. Texas is under severe weather storm or whatever the fuck they were saying. That sucks, like. I'm sure Ted Cruz lives there. That sucks for him. That sucks for all the racists there. And I was just like, is this what y'all are doing right now? Like, it's not surprising because, what we've mentioned before, like people view red states and like the South, as just like places, in people's minds, like, oh, racist white people live there and bigots live there and homophobes and Christians and people with low IQs, and because like that's a whole other conversation about voting when people say that. But instead of like, marginalized people live in these states under these laws with this violence, and I should care. it's just like whack as fuck. And obviously we've talked about how it's there's a lot of reasons why it's whack, but one of them is like obviously that racism exists as a whole in this country. Like just because you live in a blue state doesn't mean shit. You're not better than people here. You're not smarter. Because like I hate that thing where they're like with the voting thing, like I remember seeing like, oh, the people that voted, like, this is their IQ. And I'm just like, this is not the take that you think it is. Like,
like yeah.
This is very elitist and ableist and
eugenics
even.
Like, it's like, literally, like, when liberals say shit like that, it's like, this is the shit that bigots used to use and still in some ways, like, and still actively use to keep, you know, people of color, primarily black people, from voting. Right, because what determines IQ, right? And it's like you can't separate IQ tests from white supremacy and white supremacist standards. So like people need to fucking wake up to that. Like, and as someone who lives in LA and who previously lived in the Bay, who has lived all up and down California, let me tell you, bitch, like this shit is just as bigoted as anything else. Why do you think the Nazis keep a fucking attacking Berkeley and Oakland? Girl, Anaheim, where Disney is at, is literally nicknamed Clanaheim, as in Kate, like the Ku Klux Klanaheim, right? Like, and that's not just like as a joke, like, oh, there's a lot of white people there. No, like literally the Klan has a strong presence in Anaheim. They used to do parades there all the time. When folks like, you know, thought of like the way like Disney privatized a lot of Anaheim, folks were like, and how it made it impossible for certain people, it made it impossible for people of color to own houses there. Like, that is also part of the legacy of white supremacy. Like, if you look at the redlining in LA specifically, like, I grew up in Southeast LA. I grew up in an area where it is one of the only areas where people of color, particularly Latinx folks, could own a home. And that was because they didn't want us to, like, live in the white areas, in the white suburbs, or in the downtown area. Like, so much of LA was built in response to desegregation, right? So in the, and I made a video about this on my YouTube, it's like how anti-communism and racism shaped LA. But essentially, like, automobiles became, like, this symbol of, like suburban living. Right, because only like middle class and rich white people could afford cars back in the day. So what happened then is that, like, you know, the suburbs were where white people lived, and they created freeways specifically to cater to them, to bring them into the city, right? And wherever a freeway didn't go, that's where people of color had to live, essentially. And so it made it more difficult for them to get around, because the only way they can get around were the streets. So that's just a quick history lesson of how fucking LA is racist. And how liberals need to shut the fuck up. Because, like, fuck. Who did Kamala Harris just appointed some fool to take her place in California? You know, the spot she left empty here. And it's some fool who, like, is Latino. And people are like, yes, yeah, first Latino, like, in the fucking the government. And it's like, he, like, does not believe in, like, a lot of progressive stances. Like, please shut the fuck up. Like, LA has, like, the fact that, like, Kamala Harris even came from from California, like, this is where she's been the district attorney. Please shut up. New York City has that bigot ass fucking governor. Like, please shut up.
Who's under investigation? Yeah, yeah.
Like, just shut up.
No, yeah, and it's like going back to, you know, we're talking about the IQ thing because people were posting, you know, like those maps. Like, this is a percentage of what, you know, whatever. And I had been wanting to post this, but I always forget. But there, someone was like, how about this map? And it's like a map of how hard it is to vote in your state. Like, let's do that instead, right? Because when we talk about Texas, for example, it's like voter suppression and gerrymandering. So it's not just like everyone here fucking voted for, you know, Republican. And it's like, yeah, of course people here voted Republican, just like everywhere else. Like, it, and if you look at Texas from 2016, 2018, and 2020, like, Biden and Trump weren't that far apart. There was like a, it's not like, you know, Biden got like 15% and Trump got 50. It was like 40 something and 40 something. You know what I mean? Bethel almost beat Ted Cruz in 2018. Like, it's not like people make it seem, but like, regardless of all that bullshit, like, you should still care about people. Like, and that's a problem with electoral politics, that like your political frame and like your morals even like go to like that, to like your politics as far as like who you voted for, what party you're in, and then based on that is like if I'm going to show you compassion and empathy versus like you know, and it sounds corny, but it's like human fucking beings. like are you fucking kidding me? And not just that, like the most marginalized people, like poor people, you know, LGBTQ folks. Like Texas has like, and I think next to California, like the largest population of Latinx folks. So it's like, how are you, like, you think we don't exist here? And not only that, we can also like talk about all the work that people do in the South, particularly Black organizers from fucking forever until now, Indigenous organizers who kind of lead movements. Like, that's what I had mentioned last episode. Like, a lot of the uprisings that we see are from the South. You know, like, you don't see people on the West Coast fucking burning the Target down. I'm sorry, you don't. And so, at the same time...
In Portland's defense, then white people are showing
up. Oh, yeah, no. Portland gets down. They're an anarchy state. no, but you know what I mean? Like, there's just, like... How are you going to talk shit about the South or say that you don't give a shit if people are dying? And then in the same breath, quote Angela Davis, because she is from the South. And not just Angela Davis, right? Like, just organize other organizers that aren't as big, you know, that aren't well known, like Angela Davis. So it's just, it was a lot. And it was annoying to see. And then I'm glad people started calling it out. There were still some people, like, in my comments that were like, who's saying that? I haven't seen that. And I'm like... I don't even respond to you. Like, I'm not going to take screenshots because there was, like, people commenting shit and I had to block them. So it's like, I don't need to prove to you what people are saying. But anyway, so that whole shit happened. But getting back to the main issue at hand. So pretty much Texas government, state, left people to die. I mean, that's the bottom line. Like, they just, instead of... wanting to be federally, I don't know if that's a word, you know, regulated. I don't know if that's like the thing to say. Caring about people and like actually, it's just, they would be, it's just capitalism. I don't, like, it's not nothing new. You know what I mean? Like, they would rather make profit than actually keep up with like what they need to do so that people don't fucking die in these situations. And so it was like, the fact that Texas doesn't deal with this type of weather, you know, like, we don't experience this. And so it was, like, a first, right? Like, and it came out of nowhere, too. Like, I think, like, a week, like, maybe a few days was when, like, that snow started appearing in my app. so no one was really prepared. And if they were, it was kind of like I told you, like, oh, it's going to be gone. You know, it's like a one-day event. And then that plus, but, like, regardless if we're not prepared, like, our government should still show the fuck up. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter if we're not prepared. Like, if we weren't prepared, but, like, we had power, this shit wouldn't have happened. If even if we lost power for some fucking reason, like, the government could be like, do fucking something. Like, but our government officials, Greg Abbott was, like, blaming, like, the Green New Deal somehow, when that doesn't even correlate or make sense.
And it's the fucked up thing active. Is that...
It's not active that people believe it. People believe it. Like, Republican, like, other people, like, they just, they're like, oh, yeah, that's true. And, you know, Fox News bullshit. And then, if they're not, they weren't on Fox News saying, oh, this is so-and-so, this is a Green New Deal's fault, then they were jumping a flight to Cancun, conveniently, because that's what rich people are going to do. At the beginning of the pandemic, I don't know if a lot of you saw, there was like this article that I read that was like billionaires, millionaires, whoever, rich people were going to like their, some like faraway islands that they were able to just fucking go to their little islands during the pandemic, to their underground safety spaces. I don't know what they call them. I'll have to look at the article,
but
it's like
safe spaces.
Yeah, they're safe spaces underground, under the ocean. Yeah, like, they have the, like, it doesn't affect them, which is also why liberals saying, like, oh, who cares if these people die? Like, Ted Cruz isn't dying, bitch. Like, Ted Cruz has power.
That bitch survived fucking COVID twice, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Like, it's like, who do you think is affected by this shit? Like, not Ted Cruz, bitch. But speaking on Ted Cruz, like,
Wait, before you continue, like, I do want to mention that it's, like, it's not, the Texas being, like, fuck the government, fuck the federal government, it's not, like, them being, like, it's not, like, some anarchist, like, stand. It is very much, like, fuck the federal government, we want the market to rule us, essentially, mm-hmm. right? We want, like, the most capitalist form of government, right? And so that's what's happening, because the blackouts aren't happening because, you know, Elsa's fucking snow hit a fucking power grid or whatever and like shut down your power. It's because the electricity company was like, we need to preserve, you know, electricity for, you know, so that everybody gets a shot or something, right? And like they have selected, it's supposed to be a rolling blackout, right? But then it ended up being that like it was not a rolling blackout. So a rolling blackout entails that like, you know, certain streets get their lights turned off for 4 hours. Everybody on like, you know, gets 4 hours shut down at a given time. And it only affects that person so that they don't overload the power grid, right? And so everybody takes turns getting their power shut off. But that's not what ended up happening. It ended up people losing their lights for electricity for like days on end. And meanwhile, the rich areas did not have to suffer through that. So you know, people had to seek refuge in different places or just fucking figure the cold out. People's fucking houses were developing ice inside of them. Like, people fucking died because of this capitalist way this capitalist way of approaching this natural disaster, right? Which, by the way, is like completely tied. If they want to say anything about the Green New Deal, like, this is happening because of fucking climate change, right? Like,
Which is another thing that they deny exists.
Yeah.
Yeah, so thanks for breaking that down. They are not anarchists. Could you imagine the state of Texas? environmental racism. Like, there's just so many things that at play within this whole thing. Like, yeah, who's going to be more affected? Like, all of one side of Austin, which is a primarily predominantly like black area, didn't have lights. And the other side across from the freeway, which was the white area, had lights. And then, I mean, if we wanted to have a breakdown of fucking Austin, hipster fucking capital, we can talk about gentrification and how all you hipster bitches moving to Austin keep pushing black people out. But anyway,
talk about Mumford and Sons like that.
You're not going to make it. Your band sucks. Stay home. So Ted Cruz left to... It's not funny. Like, it's so ridiculous. Like,
he's a fucking cartoon.
Like it's angering, obviously, but it's just so ridiculous. Like, it's so...
He's hilariously like, predictable. Was really, like...
Yeah. Like, when I saw the pictures, people are like, oh, Ted Cruz was on a plane. I literally thought it was a joke at first. Like, I thought someone saw someone that looked like him and they were making a joke. Like, oh, I saw Ted Cruz on a plane. And then it was, like, real. And then I was like, he was really just on a plane with his mullet lesbian haircut. Like,
damn, wow. Appropriation.
Not only that, bitch. Appropriating lesbian culture while you're fleeing the state of Texas to Mexico. the country that you like hate, right? And then to say like, oh, it's because my daughters wanted to go Cancun, so I just took a trip to drop, like, I took a flight to drop them off, and now I'm coming, like, and then the follow-up to that was him posting pictures on his Facebook of him putting a bottled waters in somebody's trunk, but it's like the only car out in the middle of like nowhere, there's no other cars, it's just this one car, and he's putting water bottles in there. And then the other pictures is like him barbecuing with like law enforcement, and that's supposed to be like I'm serving the community and my constituents, like what? That is like, I can't. But you know, people are still like, oh, why do you vote for these people? I'm like, shut the hell up. Like, oh my fucking God. Like, I think we have bigger issues than who the fuck we're voting for. Like, obviously, I would love for Ted Cruz to not be in office, for Greg Abbott to not be an op. Like, obviously, that's a, like, no-brainer. But that's not, you know, I also want people to think, like, this can also happen under Democratic parties.
It is happening under Joe Biden's fucking rule.
That is, yeah, it is happening. Like, just because we didn't, you know, if, let's say if this happened under Robert or Warwick, let's say he is the senator, he won in 2018 and this happened, it would still be shitty. It would still be the same situation. It would just look nicer to you all, and then maybe y'all would have compassion and be like, oh my god, I love Beto, we need to help Texas. That would literally be the only difference. But it would, people would still be dying. People
They would come up with a hashtag like Texas strong, Beto will save us, like some
stupid shit like that. Well, right now Beto saved us and AOC, apparently they're the two people that saved Texas by raising millions or for Robert O'Rourke making calls, the Zoom calls to people. I don't know, but I want you all to know that it was like organizers that have taken care of people, like literally picking people up, taking them to hotels, not just like people, you know, that didn't have heat, but also just houseless people who were didn't have fucking nowhere to go. By distributing funds, by getting people like water, by everything. It's just been people organizing that have done that. So, yeah. So I feel like this is just a continuation of 2020. Like it
does. Oh, absolutely.
Like, you know, right? Like everything, like we're barely like in, we're still in February. And so much, like it feels like so much has happened.
Yeah. Another part of like the equation is that like, once the electric company decided to turn on everybody's lights, it's like price gouging them. Like, people are waking up to find that they're, like, you know, a week into their billing cycle and they're already, like, in the thousands, like, owing to the electric company, right? So there is no, what's that word? There's no, like, moderating or, like, limiting how much these predatory, like, companies can charge people for, you know, basic survival needs, right? So that's another part of like letting the market essentially rule the way people's lives are cared for. I also think about how, yes, Texas is a red state. You know, there is nothing stopping Biden from fucking intervening somehow, like in so many ways. Like, we are seeing where his priorities are, right? Like, there are still deportations happening, if I'm not mistaken. Up until the third week of February, there's been at least 30 flights that are meant to deport people that have done so under Biden's rule. He said Biden gave that order to ICE not to deport more people, but there was no enforcing that. So it was just like a essentially virtue signaling. On top of all that, the vaccine rollout has been absolute shit. Like, absolute shit. And Biden had the gall to go on, like, national TV for, like, a presidential town hall. And when he asked, why does he think the rollout has been horrible? He said it's because Black and Latino people can't figure out the fucking the sign up on the internet. And I'm just like, if Trump would have said that, like,
no, oh, yeah,
the liberals have had a field day. But because it's this man, they just let it slide. Like, that presidential town hall was a fucking wreck. Like, not only that, not only Biden saying that, like, Black and Latino people couldn't figure out how to use the internet, but also him saying, telling this like, this person who asked him, like, if he could forgive student loans up to 50,000, he's like, no, I won't do that. He says maximum 10,000. Like, he says he wants a Congress vote, but it's like, bitch, nothing is stopping you from just freeing people from so much debt. There's nothing stopping you, except for the fact that you are supported by, you know, predatory, like, loan officials and people who are on those boards. and they're funding your fucking presidential, they funded your presidential campaign, and their super PACs are behind you. Like, that is why, yeah, you, Joe Biden, like, are not freeing so many people from essentially, like, a gigantic load that they sign up for at, like, age 18 before they could even fucking have a drink legally. Like, God, I am just so... I don't know what I'd expect. Like, I don't know what people expected from him, but it certainly could not have been like, no, I won't do that. Just, like, straight up saying no to letting people live better lives. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sick of fucking, like, what else did he say in that town hall? Oh, yeah, I think he told, like, a child, like, not to be scared about COVID.
What, like, the about fuck?
You know, because he's like about reopening schools.
Yeah.
And like a child asked him a question and he was like kind of like downplaying COVID in front of, like, for the child specifically. And I was just like, why is this reality right now? But no, I asked on Twitter, I had asked, like, has Biden said anything about Texas? Like 4 days after all this was happening, and all of, like, his supporters, I guess, you know, like, search his name, and they're like, yes, he, like, pretty much sent, like, thoughts and prayers on Sunday, but that was the day, or he called a national emergency. I'm like, that doesn't, like, what does that mean? Like, that doesn't mean anything. And then someone was like, he doesn't tweet like Trump, okay? He's not on Twitter all day like Trump. Like, and I'm like, why do y'all need to compare him to Trump? Like, no one even, like, that guy, no one even is thinking about that guy right now. Like, like, I am not, why do I need to compare Biden to Trump? I'm talking about Biden specifically. And yeah, I know that him going on Twitter doesn't mean shit, but I mean, it could at least mean something when you're not doing shit. Like, I needed an acknowledgement of, like, hey, I see what's going on in Texas. Or denouncing it, or anything, really. Even if it's bullshit. Like, there was just, like, nothing. There's nothing on the White House website. Like, nothing from him. Just, like, oh, he declared an emergency on Sunday. And I'm like, the fuck does that mean?
Like, a week after?
Yeah. so it's just... I mean, I don't have any faith in Biden. I never did. But it's also, like, when someone tells you who they are, believe them, you know?
Yeah.
There was, like, no point in his, I mean, he lied, obviously. Like, yeah, he lied and said he was going to do this and he was going to do that, but at the same time, did he lie? Because I felt like he was always one foot in, one foot out. Like, there was never really, like, this 100% stance that I'm going to do this. It was always, like, this roundabout way, but everyone was on this, like, we gotta beat Trump bullshit, and now y'all are like, I'm sorry he doesn't tweet like Trump. I'm sorry he said Latino people, like, Latinx folks and Black people don't know how to use the internet, but maybe you don't. I'm sorry Texas didn't vote for him, so you can die now. Like, that's, like, the bullshit y'all are on right now. This whole thing's bullshit. On top of, like, everything that happened in Texas, if you see mutual aids popping up still, like, donate if you can, because it's not just like, oh, the snow is gone now, so everyone's good. You know, no, like, people died. Children died. Moms with their children died in their cars. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to have, like, a conversation about death, like, because it's fucked up, you know, it's traumatic and triggering, but there's people who have to recover from this, you know, their houses, from their cars, from the trauma, from, like, these fucking, right now they said that they had put a hold on, like, the bills that they're getting, but I mean, we don't know, they could very well be like, we'll put you on a payment plan. Like, there's still, you know, people out there, houseless people that still need help, like, in Texas specifically. So if you see them pop up, like, don't be like, oh, you know, the snow melted, like, it's all good. Like, if you can, obviously, if you have the means, please donate.
What are some that, yeah, you know of? Because I know you've been posting stuff.
Just some of them, for example, in Austin, I think it's Austin Mutual Aid, that's their Venmo. Also Austin Mutual Aid Hotels. In Dallas, there's a Sunrise Dallas or Street Forum. There's Funky Town Fridge, DFW Mutual Aid. So I guess that's for Dallas and Fort Worth. The Houston area, Houston Mutual, Hue. The RGV, which is a border town that I feel like people were kind of leaving out of the conversation, as always. And that's not to shit on fellow Texans. That's just like in national, like when I kept seeing a lot of, like, mostly it was like Houston, Dallas, Austin, San Antonio, but like the RGV kind of just was not included in that. And RGV is like another border town. So if you see RGV, Mutual Aids, they're also, that one is RGV Mutual Aid. San Antonio, Trinity Mutual Aid. And these are just some. There's so many. And like I said, if you follow people online, you'll see them. If you search it on Twitter, you will find people. If you don't find Mutual Aid, you'll see people like, I lost my home or I need help with this. And again, like, I share them on my Instagram stories, not a lot because I'm like sometimes not on there, but just look for them. They're there. And on that note, because I was going to mention something about RGV, I was going to say, I know specifically with RGV organizers, they were doing a lot of work with like migrants because, you know, we're thinking like, again, people don't have heat in their home. And then we're thinking about houseless people who don't have anywhere to go. They're sleeping on the street. They're in tents. It's cold. But we also, you know, want to include like ICE detentions who also were without power, who were, you know, there was like a juvenile detention center. I believe it was in, I don't want to be wrong on this. I want to say it was Fort Worth, but regardless, somewhere in Texas, it was like, they didn't have power for, I don't know how long. And there was children, like, which is like, just thinking of children being in juvenile detention or juvenile detention existing with the whole prison system is fucked up. But children in detention and in ICE or cold, and not just children, right? Like people, like families that are being held, that like they don't have a choice in that shit, you know? And incarcerated people. My brother is incarcerated in a prison in Fort Worth. We were supposed to have a video call with him on Sunday when it was snowing, and he didn't show up. And sometimes he doesn't show up for whatever reason. So I didn't really think much of it. And then, you know, when it was actually like snowing and all that was happening, he texted us, you know, like the conditions that they were experiencing in there, and told us it was cold, the elevators didn't work. This is a medical prison. So it means like most of the people in this prison have illnesses. A lot of them have cancer. Like, they have a hospital in there. Like, a lot of these people die in this prison. And, like, which, again, like, the whole prison needs to be, like, does not need to exist. But the fact that, like, these people have cancer, they're dying, or they're sick, and they're not even, like, let out on compassionate release. Especially with COVID. With people who are really, like, vulnerable to getting COVID. This particular prison, it's called Carswell. It's just, it has a long history of, like, abuse. And it's just, like, every fucking story I see sometimes, it's just from there. And I hate it because I know that my brother's there. And so it's just fucked up. Like, I think my brother's had COVID. I'm sure he probably even has had it twice now. But he did state that, like, the elevators weren't working. It was cold, like there was water coming in and they were making them like clean it, you know, like the dirty water. Just other conditions that I saw from other Texas prisons of what they were giving them to eat. Like, and these are like, again, like incarcerated people and people in detention, like they're not going to get the best care. They're not going to be like, oh, let's go out of our way to make sure these people are warm and have good food and make it through the night. Like, they don't give a shit, you know? And when we talk about like conversations like in natural disasters or like in pandemics that we've seen throughout this whole pandemic, how we've, you know, incarcerated people have been treated, it's like they are people. Like, why? That's like a whole conversation, right, Ruben, that I want to have, that we're going to have. But let's take a break because I feel like that was a lot that we just talked about. But let's take a quick break and then we'll come back and talk about that.
Listen, no one knows your body better than you do. That's why at Planned Parenthood, you drive your healthcare decisions. Through Planned Parenthood telehealth appointments, you can get high-quality, affordable care your way, by phone or video. When you're ready, book a virtual appointment at plannedparenthood.org/BBF. That's plannedparenthood.org/BBF. There's no waiting in line. Whether you need help with your birth control, a prescription, refill, or other sexual or reproductive care services, Planned Parenthood has got you covered. So again, visit plannedparenthood.org/BBF. All right, let's go back to the show. All right, all right. And we are back. You were talking about how, you know, how these medical prisons, like, mistreat people, right? And one of the things that you had mentioned before is how, well, first of all, here, let's, in case, like, things are not very, if you're, like, wondering, like, I don't know, maybe you are wondering, like, why do we need to, you know, worry about how COVID affects prisoners? When you talk about the fact that there is no social distancing in prison, like, the most that they do is that they don't let prisoners walk out of their cells for a while. That doesn't mean that they have, you know, adequate, you know, protective gear. They don't, like, they have masks or even hand soap. Like, something you have to remember is that a lot of the times people in prison cells have to share a restroom with at least one other person, most of the time more than that. They share a very small space with other people, and they have no way of getting away from them, like, not even 6 feet, right? Like, so one of their prison mates gets it, they get it, right? Even if somebody next door to them gets it, sometimes that's still easily transferred because of the way that the cells are built. So that is why, one of some of the reasons why there are more at risk, right? Also, when prisoners are made to work, like, in the factories making, they have different factory lines in prison cells. As of recent, prisoners have been made, and prison people have been made to make mask, protective gear, sanitizer even. They're making protective stuff for folks in the outside world that they don't even get, right? And they have to work, you know, a foot away from each other at all times, if that, right, in the factory line. So those are just some reasons that they are more at risk, right, of getting COVID. On top of that, right, of course, you have guards that don't give a fuck about them, right? There's, Cassandra has talked about how she knows folks who are bigots in El Paso who work as guards, and they are COVID, like, non-believers, right? And so, and even some of them have gone to get COVID and still be around the prisoners without giving a shit, right? So that kind of behavior, right? People who become prison guards, people who become part of, like, that prison system are not, like, to work there. They're not folks who are like, yeah, I'm joining it to make things better for prisoners. No, they are people who believe in these types of hard systems and shit like that, right? So of course they don't care about prisoners, right? People who are imprisoned.
That is, sometimes, you know, I forget, you know, how do I say this? Not everyone might understand prison abolition or why prisons are quote unquote bad, or why prison abolition versus prison reform or that. So I'm glad, I just wanted to say thanks for breaking that down, you know, because I think that sometimes people, that maybe we can have a whole conversation on that, I guess, at another time. But I think the way that people view prisons, obviously, is like prisons are where bad people go. Kind of like how y'all view red states, like, in kind of like this weird way. But, you know, if someone is bad, and mostly, like, the bad is always, like, murder and sexual assault. Always. It's always, like, murder and sexual assault. And those, like, are very, like, low numbers of people that are in prison for that. They're actually, especially for assault, like, there's hardly, and if they do, it's, like, they have to be, like, a serial killer or, you know, people don't take sexual assault seriously. So when people bring that up, I mean, that's another conversation. But, you know, people in their minds, it's like,
yeah, and it's a conversation that abolitionists have been having, yeah, since day one. Like, if you are asking what we do with rapists if we abolish prisons, you have, that tells me immediately that you have not engaged abolitionist thought, particularly abolitionist thought from people of color, even more specifically abolitionist thought from queer and trans people of color. Because immediately at the top of my head, I think about Kai Shing Tong. I think about, you know, Leah Lakshmi. You know, I those are just immediate, you know, Angela Davis. Folks who have created mountains of work answering that question. What do we do with rapists? What do we do with abusers, right, when we abolish prisons? And, you know, I think about the book that I always recommend, Revolution Starts at Home. At least fucking 40 different ways to deal with abusers. There are outside of the prison system. Often realize that, like, you're asking this because you're afraid of the answer. You're afraid to do the research for that answer. And if, and another thing that fucks with me about this is that, like, people bring up, you know, survivors of abuse when we talk about prison abolition, but, like, never any other time.
Yeah.
Or they're afraid, like, to call out their, you know, the folks around them about it. Or to, fuck, even one thing that, like, upsets me too is that, like, a lot of activist spaces don't even have a protocol for what happens if abuse manifests in our spaces.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because a lot of people in social justice organizing spaces, they think, oh, we want to do the good work, so that means that all of us are never going to be victims or even agents of abuse, right? So they think, because they're all so conscious, that that's never going to happen. But you know what, let me break it to you, bitch, it's gonna happen. In a small way, in a big way, abuseful, you know, someone will enact abuse in your space. And that's for a lot of reasons. Like, and you know, for some of them, like, sometimes organizing work, it helps feed people's ego. And abusers, that's kind of something that attracts them. Another thing is that, like, sometimes abusers don't fucking know that they're abusers because they are victims of abuse. Or sometimes just hard people, or even then, even something else, you know what? Sometimes caring people fucking abuse. Because everybody can be abusive. That's just something that we have to fucking, like, confront, is that, like, abusers don't look like bigots and monsters that they present on, you know, fucking SVU or whatever, Law and Order and shit. Like, they look like your neighbor, they look like your best friends, they look like your family members. They might be your family members, they might be your best friends, and they might be your neighbors. And that's something that we have to confront and get ready for, right? And so, I'm sorry, I just went off. It fucks with me when people, like, that's a form of derailment at all times. Mm-hmm. When we talk about abolition, that is, like, one of the immediate forms of derailment.
Yeah.
Of, like, what I, and so, instead of, like, asking folks, engage the text of Leah Lakshmi. You know, I talked about Revolution Starts at Home. I also, you know, suggest care work. To a certain degree, I also suggest conflict is not abuse. There's different things that you can engage. You know, of course, all of Angela Davis's work. Yeah.
Yeah. No, definitely. And I was going to say, not only do you, because, you know, when I hear you said, when you hear people say that, you automatically are like, you have not engaged abolition thoughts or work from abolitionist. But for me, it's also like, I feel like you don't and maybe engage is the wrong word, with actual survivors, or like with what that looks like, because a lot of us know that a lot of these people don't go, even if survivors press charges against them for, you know, let's say they do, like, a lot of these people do not go to prison. Like, that's just on top of, like, a lot of the assaults are never reported. Why? Because it doesn't work. Like, that system just doesn't work at all. Even, it's just like a waste of time. It re-traumatizes people telling their story over and over. It puts them in more danger. Like, just the fact, not only are you not engaging with abolitionists, but you're not also, like, you don't, you're not, and it, like I said, engaging with survivors is, like, a weird, because it's not like I'm like, yeah, go engage a survivor and, like, talk to them. But it's like, a lot of survivors share their stories. A lot of there's a lot of work being done. So like, you, not only that, you're just yeah, it's like derailment, like when men are like, not all men, or like, what about men? They experience this too, but it's only when at their convenience that they bring the shit up. But yes, anyway, I think people tend to view prisons as like, this is a place where bad people go, and the bad people are mostly murderers and people, you know, rapists, and maybe child abusers, because, you know, but it's like, well, no, that's like, I think how TV paints it, and like movies, or how I think it's also this guilt thing. Like, that's what we want to think, that it's only filled with like these terrible people who have no redemption. And so they should be there, right? Like, they should be in prison and they should suffer. But it's like, on one hand, a lot of the people that are there for drug offenses, are there for even child support, are there for DWIs, are there for fraud, are sending their kid to the wrong school district. Like, that's like that's how prison works. Like, it's not rehabilitation, you know. And then, because there's people that think of prison as punishment and they want it to be punishment, they're like, you deserve to be punished. And then there's people that are like, you're going to prison because you're going to be rehabilitated, and then you're going to be out and you're going to become a good person. And both of those things, on one hand, like, we need to move away from punishment as like a whole, not just like in parenting, which I always talk about, in our partnerships and our friendships, in like our most immediate circles, in organizing, in every aspect of it. Like, we need, you know, one of the tweets I always share is like, in order for us to like engage abolition, we need to grapple with our obsession with punishment. And it's because like, that is our go-to. Like, you did something wrong, and therefore you need to suffer. You need discipline. You need punishment, versus like, why? Like, compassion, right? And it's not like, if someone's an abuser, like, you're just going to be like, oh, I'm sorry, give me a hug. Like, no. Like, there's accountability. It's not just like, we're going to show you compassion and we forgive you. No. That's not what love looks like. Like, there's accountability there too, right? But it's like, if our first is like, you deserve to be punished for this thing, that's not love. That's not rehabilitation. Prison is not rehabilitation. Like, it's, if anything, it makes people, if they weren't already violent, it makes them violent. And I'm not saying all of them, right? I'm not saying everyone that goes to prison comes out violent, but it's like, the conditions in which they have to survive are violent. Why wouldn't that affect them? A lot of people go there and they come out survivors of assault, survivors of rape. And it's like, that's like all prison is. It just like produces these terrible things. And like, some people think it's okay because they're terrible people. And then other people think like, they like, it's a good thing. Like, you're going to come out and be a great person because you were in prison, you know, and that's like where you go to change. And it's like, both of those things are wrong and false. And the people that are in prison, we also, another thing is like picking and choosing, right? Like, oh, like, you were arrested for weed, so you get to come out and I'm going to show you compassion. But you, I don't know about you, like, you, I think you should get the death penalty, but maybe not you. Like, no, like, when we say abolition, it's like prison abolition as a whole. We can't just be like picking and choosing when and how we're going to apply it. That's not how that works. So that's just like, this is like an ongoing conversation, just like abolition is. Like, I'm not an expert on abolition. I think that I've felt this way about prison, about cops, for a long time, but I've never engaged abolition thought or work. I've never actually really thought about that word and what it meant until like maybe 2 years ago. And like, I try to read about it or listen to like podcasts about it, but I'm not an expert. And there's some people that have been creating work against abolition, like writing about it, organizing, and even like people that I know, like, that have done this for like 10 years, they're still like, it's something we're still figuring out. Like, it's like a, you know, it's not like, this is like the 10-step plan for abolition and here it is. You know, it's like, one of the, like, I shared a video, one of Angela Davis's videos earlier, about defunding the police and how it's not just about defunding the police, but also how about how abolition is not just like a negative thing of like dismantling shit and like, you know, burning shit down. It's like creating, it's like re-envisioning things. So it's not just like abolish prisons, abolish the cops, because then that's not where it ends. We also have to imagine a better world. We have to think like, what are we replacing this with? Like, what is a better system? What does a better community look like? It's not just like, we're going to dismantle all this shit and like, okay, our work here is done and everything is perfect. Like, no, we all, you know, and abolition isn't just, I think for me, like a one way thing. Like, people have different ideas of what that looks like. And I think that's like, also like the good thing or cool thing about it, that like, I get to say like, this is how I feel about it. And Ruben says, this is how I feel about it. And how do we create something out of that, right? But yeah, those are, that's, I think.
No, you, I mean, you hit,
go ahead, Ruben.
I,
yeah.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with everything. It's like, people really want this to be easy. And like, believe me when I say I fucking wish it was. I really fucking wish it was. Like, but it's not. It's difficult work because we have to create something completely new. Like, we have to
imagine a new world. And it's scary because I think a lot of us look at this world and know it's fucked up, but fear really keeps us from imagining what else could we have, right? What could rehabilitation look like? What can accountability look like? And what can care and education look like? I mean, I have been struggling with these questions for most of my adult life. You know, my father was arrested when I was a teenager. When my father was initially arrested, I was very angry at him. For what I thought at the time was like, you know, you're doing a bad thing, you're involved in drug selling, right? And to me, I was like, you know, drugs are bad and blah blah blah. And you know, the more I grew up, you know, the older I got, and the more I grew the fuck up. And people are like, oh, duh, you grew up, you're older now. But it's like, no, bitch, I mean, like, my fucking mind matured and like understood like the war on drugs, understood that, you know, we should be decriminalizing drug use, right? We should be talking about like, you know, what drugs are illegal and what aren't, and why, you know, white people struggling with, you know, heroin use is called the opiate crisis, but you know, black people and Latinx people who have suffered with drug use are, you know, have been villainized. And, you know, in the 80s and, you know, 90s were, you know, blamed for AIDS and HIV. And prior to that, you know, like, you know, black men who use crack were, you know, villainized as, you know, as irresponsible fathers who, you know, preferred this or that. Like, there was no nuance in how people discuss drug use for marginalized communities, right? There's only like criminal and user, right? And never this like narrative that is given to white people about like, you know, this angel who fell into the wrong path or whatever. And it's just like, yeah. So that coming to that realization and not pretending that it took a year or two or three, like, that was a lot of growth that I had to do. And I remember my father was, you know, was in prison the second time for, you know, for breaking parole. Something, I was mad at him probably even more. And I remember being angry with him, and he essentially told me like, I'm sorry, Ruben, like, I have an illness and prison didn't help me get over that illness. Prison is, you know, not somewhere where they
help you. It's somewhere where they cage you and dehumanize you. Like, my father died this year, like a couple of weeks ago. That's something that I have been, you know, struggling to talk about because I don't know how to, I don't know how to start talking about it without just, you know, breaking down crying or screaming at the world. My father died in prison. He was also in a medical facility. And, you know, one of the last conversations he had with us was about how, you know, he was getting medical treatment and he would see people entering coughing and how they wouldn't clean any of the supplies or any of the chairs and not everybody wore masks and how, like, you know, everybody was being denied compassionate release. Because if you look at the statistics, like, most people were not granted compassionate release, no matter what advocacy people did for them. And my father died of COVID. He got COVID and, I mean, he knew that they were not going to take care of him, and, you know, they didn't. And my sisters went through the same state of anger that I went through when I was a teenager. They were like, you know, why did he do what he do? You know, why, you know, couldn't my father get over, like, his illness? You know, why couldn't he just stay away from drugs or whatever? And I had to have essentially the conversation I'm having with you now about, like, our father was, you know, a victim of the state. There was very little in his power that he could have done to avoid it being re-entered into the system. You'll find that a lot of folks who are imprisoned the first time are then imprisoned again and again. And so I am angry at the system. I am angry at the world. I am, of course, heartbroken over my father. But I think I don't know, a lot of people, that when they hear that my dad was, that he passed away, I think immediate reaction is like offering condolences. And I just want to say in the nicest possible way, like, in the most, with all respect, like, I sincerely, like, as you're hearing me talk about this, like, don't feel that the need, that you need to reach out with condolences, because I really don't need that. Like, condolences, they really don't do shit for me. And I want to say that in the nicest way possible. I know that we have been taught that offering condolences is what we do, but to me, I don't need condolences. I need prison abolition. I need my father's death to not just be in vain. To me, this is, if anything, it's just made me, like, well, first it made me really depressed, and I haven't been able to, like, get out of bed for, like, weeks now, but it's also, like, reaffirmed my commitment to abolition, right? So instead of, like, reaching out about with condolences and sorry for your loss, I want you to instead, like, you know, tell me, like, oh, you know, this is what I'm doing for abolition, right? No, I'll tell you now, like, I make regular donations to abolitionist groups, to bail funds. I try to educate folks on different facets of abolition work. I, you know, talk to my
friends and family about, you know, the horrors of prison. I write letters to people in prison. Like, that, those are just a couple of things that we can do, you know. So, you know, tell me what you're doing for prison abolition. That to me, that would make me feel much better than being told, like, I'm sorry for your loss. Which I know, again, and if you've done that already, like, this is not me talking shit to you at all, or, like, it's just, you know, going forward. Because right now, I'm just pissed. I'm just pissed at the system. And at first, I'm not going to lie, I was very... I was disillusioned with the world and whether or not we're going to see abolition in our lifetime. I'm just like, I am 30. I am only going to live so long, and people don't seem to be getting on board with prison abolition, or they have all these stupid questions that have been written about before. Like, I'm sorry, it's just frustrating when, like, I keep repeating myself about, this is what the books to read, this is the thing to engage, or, you know, in this video I'll cover this. And the first thought was like, fuck, you know, my dad died and in prison of COVID, something completely preventable, and nothing in this world is going to change. And I was in that fucking despair for weeks. You know, it wasn't until recently that I've just, like, this found hope, you know, about that. And I mean, yeah, I mean, that's basically why I kind of shut down my social media in the last month, is because I just could not bear, like, how regressive we are, especially liberals, seeing liberals, like, not hold Joe Biden accountable, Kamala Harris accountable for, like, everything that's going on. Like, you know, seeing the governor of California, fucking Gavin Newsom, open up the state again, despite, like, our numbers of COVID being so high. And he opened up the state just, like, weeks after my dad died of COVID. And I just could not. Like, I just wanted to fight all these bitches. And I'm just like, yeah. So, I don't know. If you have people in prison, like, make sure to write to them. Make sure to answer their call when they call. I think, like, God, like, whenever my dad would call, like, I know I was going to end up mad at the end of that fucking phone conversation. Like, but I would answer anyway. Like, I would rather be pissed at my dad another fucking day than have him be dead. I would rather us yell at each other over the phone than have him be dead. Like,
yeah, well, thank you for sharing that, Ruben. I don't know if thanking you is even appropriate, because you didn't have to share that. And I know that you've been struggling with that. Also, why, you know, well, I don't want to say why we haven't recorded, because sometimes we're just going through it. We just don't want to record, or we can't.
No, yeah, I mean, last time we recorded, it was... I mean,
but shit keeps happening. Just, like, we're like, we're gonna record this happy 50th anniversary, and it's just like shit happening. But one thing that we forgot to mention in talking about, you know, we're talking about, well, we talked about a lot of things about what happened in Texas and incarceration and prison abolition, and also with all of that I've told Ruben, like, it's within the last year, right? And we're coming up on a year in March of, like, the official, like, quote-unquote lockdown or whatever, is that, like, all of this shit has been happening, right, in 2020, now 2021, and it's like, sometimes it feels like I forget that we're in a fucking pandemic, which is, it I don't want to say, like, oh, I'm like, it's just, like, normalized now, like, this is our reality now. It's just, like, there's just so much happening that sometimes I'm like, all of this is happening on top of a pandemic, like, everything that has happened, it's like on top of a pandemic. And today, the U.S. has hit like half a million people have died in the U.S. to COVID, have died because of COVID. And sometimes I even hate saying because of COVID, because it's like, yes, they got COVID, but it's also like a lot of those deaths did not have to happen. A lot of those deaths are not only just like because they got COVID, it's because of the prison system, it's because of ICE detentions, it's because of capitalism, it's because of ableism, it's because of like the government's not giving a shit. So it's not just like, oh, you know, these people that have COVID.
Yeah, it's another thing too. Like, yeah, my father died of COVID, but the direct cause of that was like government neglect and government abuse. Like, my father only was sentenced to a couple more years in prison, but by the government not taking care of my father, they sentenced him to death. Whenever somebody dies in prison, that is the state sentencing them to death. Straight up. Them not caring enough, you know, being neglectful, not providing care that they know for a fact people need, especially people in a fucking medical ward where, like, you know everybody's at risk. The state not providing adequate protection from COVID and from other forms of violence within prison, like, not like outside of the fact that, like, prison itself is a fucking violent system, but the government, again, not providing adequate care and protection from COVID, that is them saying these people's lives are not valuable. These people deserve to lose them. There are no ifs, ands, or buts. There's nothing subtle about that. You know, my father essentially got an extrajudicial killing from the fucking state. And I don't know. I just hope that people are being galvanized every fucking day to act in some capacity in a way that will lead us all towards a brighter future without prisons, without fucking borders, without all these things that are ultimately just meant to control us and to kill us. If you personally don't know anyone who's affected by COVID, like, now you do. Now you know somebody who lost one of the most important people in their lives to COVID. And honestly, I mean, it's been weeks and I'm still like, I mean, the grieving process is odd. It's another thing that's like, if I mean, this thing has also taught me a lot about fucking grief and how to show up for people. Like, I you know, a lot of my close friends knew that my dad died, and some of them knew how, and some of them showed up the first week, and then after that, so a lot of people just expect you to get over it. They're just like, it's been 2 weeks, this person should have gotten over their fucking dad dying in prison of COVID. And I mean, to be fucking real, like, this is not something I'm gonna get over for a while. Like, I might be able to get out of bed, but I feel like I'm living in a new reality. Like, so, yeah. And if you're showing up, I mean, if you are, just remember to show up for people who are grieving at all times. Months later, you know, like, you know, I think about things that would not trigger like a memory of my father and sadness suddenly do, like fucking video game theme songs, like, have reminded me of my father, and all of a sudden I'm fucking crying.
Yeah. I still, like, yeah,
your grandma,
yeah, when I hear like an oldie, and it's like, just, you're not even thinking about, like, you know what I mean, like, you're just having a good time, and then it's like, snap. So now, oh, yeah, you know, no. It just, it takes you there. So, and this just happened. Like, you know. So it's, I don't think it's like something you get over. It's something I think that you learn to cope with, maybe, or live with, versus like, I'm, you know, I'm over this. It's like, it just gets better, but also not like it gets, I don't know how to explain it. Like, maybe if down the line, you're just going to have, better. Yeah, you're just going to have a bad day. Even like a year from now, you're just, it's not like consistent, I guess.
Yeah, I'm very thankful that my job essentially, like, you know, I don't want to praise them too much because who knows what the fuck. Like, down the line, they're going to be like, you didn't produce enough. Yeah, but, you know, my main job gave me some unofficial time off. But academia, dude, academia. My teachers were all fucking wonderful. But, like, I remember... I fucking hate capitalism because the first thing I did after checking in on my family when my father passed away was check in with my fucking teachers and like program director and, you know, TA director and tell them like my dad died, blah, blah, blah. I hate that that's the fucking state of the world, right? Where, and I fucking hate it even further that like, I don't know how it is in undergrad, but at least in grad school, when you have a TA-ship, when you're working as a teacher, like, your tuition, like, my tuition is paid by my TA contract, and there is no way for me to take time off. Like, I had to work, like, that's the only thing that I've had to basically work through. Like, there was no... the only other option was to put the work on my fellow grad students. I remember talking to my TA director and being like, this happened, blah, blah. And they're like, oh, anything I can do, blah, blah. I need to take time off. And they're like, except for that.
They're like, how about pizza? How about a pizza party?
Yeah, they're like, how about a pizza party? No, my fucking, oh, God. I know that she doesn't listen to this, but the fucking white woman TA director made that white woman face. And it's like, like the tight lip, weird, sad smile. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And she was like, I'm sorry for your loss, but you can't take time off. That's the one glitch in the system where, like, we don't allow that. The only options you have are put all this work on your fellow TAs who are already overwhelmed, or deal with it and just find a way around it. And I'm just like, okay, bitch, like, I was transparent with my students. I was like, my dad died. The rest of the quarter, like, I'm going to grade you super easy. Basically, I told them, like, unless you want feedback on your work, I'm just going to give everybody A if you turn something in. Like, so some students have been okay with it. There's been some students who haven't said anything. They just feel like they wanted me to engage more, but whatever. Like...
Fuck them. Just kidding.
Basically, I'm just... Fuck everybody, TBH. Like, God, like... Ugh, fucking hate capitalism. I fucking hate... I don't know. I have a weird relationship with academia. I hate it, but I also really like learning. I like writing. I like creating. I like engaging in, you know, literature with other folks. I just hate... the way that I can only do it in this space, and that space has all these rules, you know, that dehumanize. It's fucking dehumanizing to have to work like through this. Like, is it dehumanizing? Because it's the academia saying like, sorry for your loss, but we still need you to work. Like, you have to put your feelings aside and be a machine. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's days that I like just lost completely, like cannot remember days these last few weeks. I remember calling and apologizing to you for what I thought was going off on you, but you're like, no, you just talk about Elliot Page for like a minute and then we hung up.
But that's like, the memory thing fucks me up because it's like depression. It, like, you know, memory loss, depression, I think PTSD, like if you like a traumatic event, after fucking childbirth, during pregnancy also is like a symptom of that. And I think, isn't it also like with COVID related? I think that's what I read.
Bitch, I don't know.
Yeah, and I'm just
'cause
like,
I've been.
I'm just like, I don't know. I'm like a mother who has had COVID with depression. Like, I don't know shit. I just like, I don't remember anything. I'm sorry. Like, I'm done. I have no memory of anything. Sorry. No, but yeah, I don't know. Anyway. Like, anyway, still no vaccine for me. I'm still hoping I get one soon, but the way this shit is going in this joke of a country.
Fucking violent joke of a country. God.
Yeah, it's not even like not even a
Was
joke.
thinking about how, like, fucking Ted Cruz is such a caricature of a bigot, like, in a fucking, like, in, I feel like he's an Arrested Development character, like, of just a bigot, like, it's so ridiculous.
Truly.
Yeah, no. I mean, I wanted to wait before talking to my father because I just didn't want to be like an emotional mess. And plus, like, I don't know. I feel like there's also this like expectation of like performing grief. And to me, performing grief like in the full capacity that I want to perform it would be something like, you know what? I'm not gonna say it because then the
Yeah,
FBI.
don't. Sometimes I want to be tweeting stuff too, and I'm just like, duh. Drafts. This is a
Yeah,
draft.
not even drafts, fucking
That's true. This is a
Twitter.
thought.
Yeah,
This is a thought in
just
my
let it
head.
sit in your thought. But I have, you know, I'm not, I'm sad, but I don't cry like people. I feel like people
Like
expect
me,
me
bitch, just
more.
say
No.
it. Like every
Well.
other episode, this bitch
I'm angry. Like I, oh yeah. Oh God, girl. Because I'm angry more than I am. I mean, of course I'm sad, but I'm more angry than anything. And in conclusion, give fucking imprisoned people the fucking vaccine before you fucking give it to fucking a celebrity or any fuck. I'm still so confused about why government officials got to have the vaccine. They're not doing shit.
They're not doing shit. They have health care. They're at home working like $80 an hour. Like, fuck out of here. Good fucking bye.
Yeah, like, girl, please. Yeah. And support your local abolitionist efforts. Fucking buy your local abolitionist a fucking sandwich. Like, cook for them. Like, take care of their kids. Fucking distribute their zines. Buy their zines. Like, you know, support bail funds.
I'm sorry. It's because
Buy their
there's this
books.
meme that's like, I always laugh because it's like the problem with anarchists is that they think everything has to be made into a zine. I'm
That's
like,
okay. You know what? That's one of the things about like tankies. They're like, anarchists don't read. It's like, bitch, we invented the fucking anarchist library. It's a fucking like zine distribution. Like, please shut up. Like,
yeah.
fucking support all those efforts, your mutual aid efforts. Like, and don't see these things as fucking charity. These are not charity things. These are things that you're doing because you care about your fellow human and don't feel like, oh my God, like, you know, I gave this money, like I'm such a good person and like this person better be thankful as fuck. Like, no, like engaging in mutual aid is you saying, I am evening out the inequity in that is caused by systemic oppression. Right? That is caused by this fascist state. That's what mutual aid means. It doesn't mean like I'm helping this needy bitch, like, or helping these bitches with their fucking radical efforts. Like, you're not helping anyone. You are doing your part in destroying the inequities that exist because of all these systemic issues.
So let's wrap it up because this was a informative episode. Informative.
Hey,
No,
inform.
I feel like all these episodes have been like, we gotta talk about the Capitol and we gotta talk about inauguration, and then now we gotta talk about Texas. Like, it's just like can we chill? Can we do our 52nd episode and then resume the shit show?
Right.
Please?
Dad had to die right when our 50 episode.
Oh, stop it. I hate you. Yeah, but I guess that brings us to our last segment, which is AI last segment. Like, we went through four or something. We don't even have a segment. This is just... Whatever. What made you less bitter, I guess? I don't know when the last time we recorded, like the last 3 weeks, maybe? I don't
know. Yeah, no, sure. This has been a quick turnaround ish. Mm-hmm. You know, for us. Yeah. You know, talking to my sisters, and that's made me less bitter. And what's come of that is that, like, you know, we're reminded that, you know, my sisters and I are very different people. But one of the things that unites us is Sailor Moon. We fucking live for Sailor Moon. So I've been watching the animes, both of them. I've been, you know, following fan accounts and, like, YouTube channels and, like, buying merch. Like, just, I think, feeling, like, tangible remnants of my childhood and the best times with my sisters. So I've Sailor Moon has made me feel better these last few weeks.
That's cute.
Yeah.
For me, it's been myself. I know. I know self-love sounds corny because I never really talk about it. Because I got it 24/7. Just kidding. No, I do not actually. I'm depressed half the time. No, but I know. I just feel like, I guess it makes sense because, like, since I'm like an Aquarius rising, it's in my first house. And like during like the retrograde, I don't know. I don't give a shit what it's about. But I felt like I was just really feeling myself like these last like 2 or 3 weeks. And I feel like it just felt like a lot was lifted off me. And again, I don't know if it's because Aquarius season, I've just been like in better moods. Because also one thing I think we've mentioned was, like, you know, I got COVID in November, I feel. And like, obviously I don't have COVID anymore, but there was still like a lot of fatigue. Like, I was still always tired, and I still kind of am, and I don't know if that's just going to be, like, a permanent fucking thing, unfortunately, but it's not like, oh, I don't have COVID anymore, I'm, like, 100%, you know, back to normal. Like, I mean, on top of, like, a depression, it was just, like, I'm just always physically tired. But, again, lately I've been feeling a lot better, and so I feel like my moods were just in a better place, like, my vibes were good. I was looking good. taking selfies when been, I like, take selfies when I take
season of my life.
Yeah, when I when I take selfies at 3 a.m, that's when y'all know I feel good about myself. I'm having a great time. So I don't know. I think just like, I guess I don't know how to explain it. I don't want to say like taking time for myself because it's not like my life hasn't really changed that much, but I guess I have been just more like, I don't know, just about me and feeling good. And also making playlists. I've been really into like making playlists on Spotify. Like, I've made like 4 of my friends like playlists based on their birth chart, and that was really cool. And then I made like an acoustic one. I don't know. I've just been like all about playlists. And that has been really fun because it's like a science. Like, you can't just put random shit together, you know? Yeah, I think those were the main things. Yeah, just me. I've made myself happy. And Spotify playlists. And also, one of our listeners made a Spotify playlist, like a Bitter Brown Femmes Spotify playlist of all the songs we've played, like throughout all of our episodes. And I know we're not playing songs anymore, but the songs that we did play. So I keep forgetting to post it, and I'm so sorry, but I will post it just in case y'all want to check that out. Yeah. And I guess that's about it. Also, I don't know. I don't think there's any announcements. We're not going anywhere. That's about it. I don't know.
Yeah, thank you for joining us for another episode. And yeah, I... Yeah, this was a heavy one. So thank you for sticking all the way through.
Yeah, Wes. Thank you if you've made it here. And we hope y'all learned something. I learned something, no. But I mean, not learned something like in a condescending way, but just like having a conversation about these things, right? And as always, we'd like to continue the conversation on social media. So you can follow us on Instagram or Twitter, Facebook. Though we're not as active on there. I do apologize. It's just Facebook. Yeah. I apologize.
But yeah, Mark Zuckerberg just sucked
alike. Yeah.
Out of Facebook.
Absolutely. But, you know, just like we like engaging with y'all in the comments. When you shout us out in your stories with your merch, we're still waiting on the cap pictures that we have not gotten.
Everybody's ashamed of their cap. Everybody loved that tote, though, and those shirts.
I don't know. I don't know what's up with the cat people. Don't be shy.
It's just that, that lady just bought online. Before we leave,
I do want to give a shout-out to all of our upper-level patrons. That includes Raul.
Yeah, she probably is selling them, like, on Facebook.
Selena P.
Sally Bucks.
Tatel. Natasha B. Brenda C. Ames T. Amy M. Layla G. Griselda M. Lisbeth K. Sarah M. Karina C. Yulisa. Chrissy J. Jacqueline A. Clara P. Gianna R. Marisol L, Miguel B, Nancy M, Valentina R, Yasmin, Jocelyn D, Vanessa, Alana F, Erica A, Justine, Magdalena S, Ronnie L, Linda M, Bianca G, Kimberly B, Jen A, Cassandra G, and Abigail and Aranya forever. All right. Sending y'all a ton of love. Thank y'all for supporting us on Patreon. And if you want to support us again, you can visit the link in our description or visit patreon.com/bitterbrownfems. All right. Have a good day.